Steel and commodities conglomerate JSW Group has entered India's very dynamic automotive industry in partnership with Chinese giant SAIC with a focus on the electric car segment in the country. And Sajjan Jindal's ambitions are massive.
As you know, JSW is a relatively aggressive group when it comes to building capacities, when it comes to marketing the products. We believe in scale. We don't like to stay at a small scale. So we are going to churn the whole industry a lot, and we will create some sort of a disruption in the industry. And our idea is that we will bring one car every 3 to 4 months, and we will manufacture them in India. And not only for Indian market, but we will also export these cars to the most developed markets. With MG, my dream is that we will create a Maruti movement. Like 40 years ago, 1984, when Maruti came into India, it changed the auto industry. So I believe that with MG, we can create a new EV, new energy vehicle Maruti movement.
JSW's entry is actually that of a deep-pocketed manufacturing giant into India's $115 billion automotive market. It aims to sell 1 million new energy vehicles annually by the year 2030. Remember, that is 12 times the total number of EVs that were sold in India last year, which were just 2% of total vehicle sales in India. That chunk is, of course, expected to grow to 23% in the next few years. But JSW also aims to corner a third of the EV market by 2030. That too is very ambitious. Remember, India's leading conglomerate in the automotive sector, Tata Group, took more than 3 decades to capture a 14% share of the passenger car market. And it has taken the Tatas the last 4 years to become a leader in the EV market with an 80% share of total volumes. JSW's partner MG is a British marque that is now owned by SAIC Motor, the largest among the big four state-owned auto giants in China. Now, China is the world leader in EVs. It produced 8 million electric vehicles last year, exactly 100 times of what India produced. It accounts for half of the world's EV production and exports. It also has the capacity to produce 75% of the world's EV batteries, which account for the largest chunk, that's 40% of an EV's costs. So clearly, there is a world of global first new energy technology just waiting to hit the Indian auto industry through this JV, right? Not so fast. Remember, it's not easy being a Chinese company in India. The JSW-MG JV happened just a few years after a whole bunch of Chinese apps and companies were banned by the Indian government. Also, investment worth $2 billion from Chinese companies are stuck with New Delhi. Those include proposals from Chinese auto giants that are waiting to pounce on the Indian market, which they hope will offset a slowdown in their domestic sales and exports to the West. So, is JSW poised to change the face of India's auto industry, or is it being too ambitious? And will this JV make way for many other Indo-China partnerships in the country's automotive market? We will try and answer these and several other questions in today's episode. Listen on. It's Wednesday, the 27th of March. I'm your host, Anirban Chaudhary. This is The Morning Brief. JSW's had long-standing plans to make cars in India. Here's my colleague and ET's in-house auto expert, Shelley Seth Mohile.
This goes as long as 2014, but somehow because of the competitive intensity of the market, they couldn't figure out, you know, how can they enter the market. And then sometime in 2016-17, when the EV policy came into place and the government really started focusing big time in pushing electric mobility, that is when the Jindals saw an opportunity there that, hey, this is the time that we can enter the market.
In fact, the government has been pushing for electric mobility since as early as 2013. Under the National Electric Mobility Mission Plan, it envisaged a public-private investment of 14,000 crore in new technologies and adoption of EVs and hybrid vehicles. The aim was also to save 62,000 crore rupees worth of crude oil. Then came the faster adoption and manufacturing of electric vehicles in India, or FAME scheme. Also, productivity-linked incentives for making EV components in the country, and most recently, a cut in import duties for companies planning to set up EV factories with a minimum investment of $500 million. JSW, of course, in the interim, had to put its car-making plans on the back burner due to COVID. Then,
a couple of years ago, they also got to know through some common friends that SAIC-owned MG Motor India, which is a British brand with a 100-year-old history, they were looking for an Indian partner. Now, why they were looking for an Indian partner? Because geopolitical tensions between China and India, the foreign direct investment by a Chinese company, they are subjected to close government scrutiny. So MG was, their future expansion plans had hit a roadblock. So they met the Jindals, they met management of MG Motor India and their senior SAIC officials in China. And they realized that it's a win-win proposition, because what MG needed was a strong financial backup, you know, a company that can really help them in expanding their India operations and scale up.
MG has had a good run in India. Its products were an instant hit, and in 3 years, the company captured 1.5% of the Indian market, which is no mean feat for a new player. Here's my colleague, ET Prime's auto analyst, Rajiv Ghosh.
The bigger thing is that this is a company which is based in China, which is at the forefront of the new electric vehicles. And therefore, whether it's plug-in hybrids or full electric vehicles, China is by far leading the world. So a company which is able to compete in that market very successfully, or even doing moderately well, at least has a certain edge as compared to many other companies, whether it's the global company. So the large European companies, large Japanese companies, as well as the American companies are actually struggling in China because they are not able to compete with the Chinese companies. And therefore, the bar is really very high so to succeed in China now. And therefore, someone who is able to operate in China does have some kind of advantage anywhere in the world now, including India.
So the JV, as Shelley said, was a godsend. How is it structured? JSW holds 35% in it. Banks and MG's dealers hold another 16% that takes the Indian ownership to 51%. The rest is held by MG.
Now again, this whole equity structure that they have come up with is very interesting, because you don't know of any company that has offered stake to its dealers. I mean, there are companies that offer ESOPs to its employees, but we don't know of any company, at least in India, that has offered stakes to its dealer partners. This whole equity structure, they have managed to Indianize MG Motor India, which is now called, the new entity is called JSW MG Motor India Private Limited.
As you heard Jindal in the beginning of the episode, scale is top priority for the venture. Second, synergies.
The kind of synergies that will kick in, you know, because JSW being a steel company, MG will benefit, the joint venture company will benefit from sourcing of raw materials. JSW also has plans to set up a huge integrated electric vehicle and battery manufacturing plant in Odisha. They have announced an investment of over $4 billion in that company.
And of course, you have the Jindal's oft-repeated plans of bidding for lithium mining projects, which would be critical in battery manufacturing. Also, it has already forged allied partnerships like the one with Electric Pay in 2022 for charging infrastructure. Now, one of the primary sources of excitement within JSW's automotive business is its plan to make PHEVs, or plug-in hybrid vehicles. Now, PHEVs use batteries to power an electric motor, but they also use gasoline or diesel fuel to power an internal combustion engine. They run on electric power till the battery is nearly depleted, and then the vehicle automatically switches over to the ICE engine. A PHEV comes with a larger battery pack than a typical hybrid electric vehicle, and it's costly to make. Here's MG Motor India's CEO Emeritus Rajiv Chhabra in an interview with Shelley.
You're right, plugging hybrid technology is very costly. Mm. Very costly. Actually, it's, if you have to bring it here, just imagine it has got an EV kind of battery and it's got an engine. So the cost is going to be much more than even EV.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, especially if you see the GST structure. Mm. Right? So that's the challenge, and that's what we feel, and thanks to Mr. Jindal's vision, that can we make that cost competitive by doing all kind of localizations, batteries. See, battery, right now everybody is doing battery assembly in India, right? But cell manufacturing, that gives you that cost advantage on the cell side, right? Now it's too early for me, and I don't want to say it on behalf of Mr. Jindal, but he just said, and you were there, that lithium mining or processing as a mineral group, as a energy group, probably they may get interested. So not tomorrow or day after tomorrow, but at some point of time, if he does this kind of backward integration, that gives you a lot of cost advantage, and that makes PHEV competitive. So frankly, from my perspective, I'm not saying that PHEV will become cost competitive tomorrow, but over a period of time, it can become.
While talking about the venture's massive ambitions, Chhabra said that he's totally aware of the importance of a solid team to steer them.
Both the shareholders, SAIC and JSW, one thing is very clear, that they will bring the best talent from the globe to run this company, right? Mm. And our team is very strong right now, and maybe I'm putting words in Mr. Jindal's mouth, that because I know what's happening, that our current management will continue. As and when there's a requirement of bringing people from outside to add to certain area, as Mr. Bajpayee talked about, we'll keep on doing it. Mm. So we'll keep strengthening the team wherever we feel it needs to be done. So basically, the best talent will come, that's all. The company will be managed.
Also, JSW is not just trying to scale up, localize and sell affordable vehicles super fast. It's trying to straddle far too many categories, including premium. In fact, in its latest press event, it showcased a premium electric sports car. So, Shelley asked Chhabra what every auto expert is asking.
Are you trying to bite more than you can chew? Because the premium channel, that's something that's a huge bet. That's a huge bet, right? I mean, unless the throughput is good enough, the dealers, it may not be a very viable thing for them.
So as you can imagine, premium channel means it's going to be a few dealers, a few geographies. We are talking about some very compelling products, like the one you saw today. There's nothing like that in the country right now. So we feel that we have an arsenal of differentiated and compelling products in that category, which will be liked by the Indian consumer. We are not really looking for a huge volume in that. In terms of team's viability, it's a question of how many products, what volume, and how many dealers. So we'll make sure that there is the right number of dealers who can make money in that channel.
But also, not everyone is convinced about how much of the claims will become a reality and in that shorter time period. For instance, not many people are buying that 1 million sales target. Here's Rajiv.
You see, 1 million is a vision kind of statement, which, it's not in the foreseeable future. So if you look at the actual statement, they're speaking of taking the production capacity from 1 lakh units to 3 lakh units. So as of now, as I was telling you, that they have done around 56,000 units of sales in the last 12 months. They are not even operating at 60% capacity utilization currently. Even 56,000 to 3 lakhs will be more than 5 times. For example, they are talking of new product launches, and they have to have very, very solid new products, which will have good volume of take to be relevant, to even hit that 3 lakh number. I would look at that 3 lakh number is in the next 5 years or so. So let's see 3 lakhs first, then we can think about 1 million. Just to give a context, Tata's hope to get into 1 million territory in the next 4 or 5 years. So it's a long shot. That's a very, very long shot.
Now, let's look at it from the point of view of a Chinese entity. Everybody thinks Chinese manufacturing and tech are cheap, so obviously those two, apart from the high localization levels that JSW is planning, would obviously have a spillover effect and would make for cheap cars. Right? Wrong.
The fact is that if you look at the Chinese, for example, BYD, the vehicles that they are selling in India is more than twice the price that they're selling in China. I wrote a story in which, you know, talking about Toyota being able to do in China a vehicle which they sell at $44,000 at $25,000. And that is true for MG also. If you look at the electric vehicles that are sold in India, they're far not even comparable to, in terms of pricing, what is being done in China. So we have not seen, as of yet, the benefit of the Chinese low-cost as well as decent quality vehicles manifest in countries apart from China. So this is definitely a China ecosystem story and not just a Chinese technology story.
Also, this is an age when cars, especially EVs, are becoming more and more similar to smartphones. They're driven as much by software and data as fuel or electricity. In such a case, will data privacy not be a concern?
We don't have much clarity on those aspects as of now. But our understanding is that going forward, although the promoters will not talk about it now, that at some point, maybe 3 years, 5 years down the line, JSW will look at a technology transfer kind of an agreement, but we don't know. I mean, that remains unclear how this whole thing will pan out.
For Chinese automakers, however, India is really important. Why? An S&P Global report anticipated that China's light vehicle sales in 2024 will increase by a mere 0% to 2%. The report also said that the growth of domestic EVs in 2024 will slow down to 15% to 25% compared to 30% in the first 8 months of 2023. These cutthroat competition and pricing pressures in the home market have made India a go-to place for Chinese automakers for a very long time. Here's Puneet Gupta, Director, S&P Global Mobility, and its in-house expert on the Indian auto market.
Because, you know, their market is getting now more or less saturated. So I think Chinese, it's a great opportunity that way for China to explore, you know, other markets across the world. And specifically, you know, when EV is an area, you know, where they have been working for almost decades now. So they really have an opportunity there to grab and push their own OEMs, you know, and do partnerships across the globe. So obviously, you know, I think with their market saturating, there is definitely huge potential for them to explore the world today. It actually, every Chinese player, if you see 2019 Auto Expo, Great Wall Motors, Changan, MG Motors, so all the big players, you know, really had their own stalls and they want to come and exploit India market, you know, independently. But now, after pandemic, a lot has changed. It may be because of the geopolitical situation between the two countries or India or China, or it may be because of border tensions. So now we are seeing, you know, Indian Chinese companies are looking for collaboration with the Indian partners. You know, so for Chinese companies also, you know, it's also makes sense for them, you know, to sell their EV technologies to the players and, you know, take out the best revenue from the technology.
And finally, here's Shelley again.
We know that there are quite a few other companies which are looking to enter the market. BYD, for example, is already present in the market for many years, but they haven't really been able to scale up the operations because of similar reasons. They are not able to get foreign direct investment from the parent company. So there is a high possibility of BYD also joining hands with one of the Indian companies, big Indian conglomerates, or any other Indian company. Now, what is also a little different in this case, that BYD being a large multinational company, unlike an MG, unlike an SAIC, they may not settle in for a minority stake. They may still want to be, you know, on the driver's seat. So it's that space is worth a watch. A lot of clarity on this aspect will come once the Indian, once the general elections are over and the new government is at the center. There are also unconfirmed reports and some of the people that we talk We've learned that the government may soften its stance a little bit on the foreign direct investment by the Chinese companies post-elections. But how all of that, how those plans will shape up, how those plans will pan out, the contours of the agreement, we don't know. So we'll have to just sort of wait and watch.
So between the three C's, a big conglomerate, cars, and the overarching China question, the automotive sector in India may be in for some far-reaching changes in times to come. That's it for today. You were listening to this episode on The Morning Brief. It was produced by Vinay Joshi and sound designed by Indranil Bhattacharji. We hope you liked this episode. Please share and subscribe if you did. A new TMB episode drops every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday on a listening platform of your choice. Keep listening, have a good rest of the week. The clips used in this episode belong to their respective owners. Credits are mentioned in the description.